Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Who wants to talk? Let's lose some weight this month. Y'all, let me know that you can hear me in the chat. Oops, let's see. Chat participants. Hello, hello. I am Coach Betsy. All right. Hello, Miss Valerie and Rosita. Where are y'all coming from? Where are y'all at this morning? I'd love to hear. Tucson and Oregon and New Jersey and let's see. I think Rosita said she was in New Jersey, Texas, Toronto, New York City. Oh, it's just so cool. Oh my gosh, in Spain. Thank y'all. I decided to just play with my hair a little bit today with this new puppy. For those of y'all, some of y'all know I have a new black lab puppy, and he has changed our life mostly for the better. But I have not had time to get my bangs cut. So I am. Oh my gosh, Tanya. She lost 8.2. Yes, I have my Grogu stuffy back there, my little baby Yoda back there. He keeps me company during the day. What am I looking at? Oh, it's all this stuff stacked on my desk that I can see right here in the view of the camera. I haven't had a chance to cut my bangs, so I just decided to kind of play with it and pull them back a little bit. It's fun to play with my hair. So I see it as something fun to do. So, all right, y'all, who is ready to talk about this month? Okay, so I want to just keep it really simple this month. And by the way, this is what we're going to do today. I'm just going to talk a little bit, teach a little bit, and then I want to see some hands raised, y'all, because I mean, I know some of y'all may have your plan for June, set, and you are just executing tomorrow. June starts tomorrow. But some of y'all maybe need some help with how to get started, what to focus on next month, what to learn from this last month. And so that's what I want to help you all with today. Okay. So I want to kind of share a little bit about my story and it's just something that I've really worked on. That I want to share with you all, and that it may help you kind of decide on your focus for June. But first off, we always want to recommend, and I will put it here in the chat. I actually just gave this out to one of my private clients that I was meeting with this morning, is the deep dive assessment. So some of you all may be new, you may just have not kind of dug into the website to check out all of our resources, and that's okay because if you're just doing the basics, that's fine. But we have this amazing resource in the membership called our deep dive assessment. And so I'm gonna post the link here. It's a big old long link, but it is a PDF document and it is a great way to kind of assess where you are. You kind of just do this self-rating for all the different areas that can help you with weight loss, okay, that we teach. And so it's just a really great tool where it's like, okay, I've got these things to work on. Let me kind of narrow it down and then let me just pick something that I can really focus on this month. Okay. And so speaking of what I want to focus on this month, I want to kind of let you all know about kind of what I've been working on. So, and this is appropriate, or I just think it's appropriate because June is. We're coming up on June. June is my birthday month. I was born on the 28th of June. And y'all, this is my 50th birthday. It's the big 50. I was born in 1975. And so I've just been doing a lot of reflection with, all right, what have I learned? How much have I grown? What have I accomplished? What do I want to learn more of? What do I want to practice more of? What do I really just How do I want to change in my life in these next 50 years? Because I plan on living At least another 50 years. My grandfather lived to be 97. And so here we go. Let's do this. What do I really want to focus on for this next half of my life? And what came up for me is I was just thinking this morning. I was at the gym. I went and got some coffee. I was in the shower. That's where I do my best thinking. And I really, really want to work on, I don't even know how I want to describe it, letting go or normalizing or being with my perfectionist thinking. My black, we can call it black and white. We can call it all or nothing. We can call it whatever we want to call it. It's these rules that we have in our mind that they're not written down anywhere. No one has set these rules for us, but there's some sort of shoulds or shouldn'ts. There's some sort of I have to's or I can't. They're in these, this very kind of absolute language. And I've just decided, y'all, I really want to notice that. And I really want to question a lot of these black and white rules that I have. Now, I've already done that a lot with things related to weight loss, like my food, like overeating, like making mistakes. Y'all, when I first started losing weight or trying to lose weight, I was on Weight Watchers or I was doing reading some kind of South Beach diet book or doing something like that. Y'all, the first time I wasn't perfect at it, the first time I made a mistake, I quit. It was like, well, I'm doing it wrong. I'm doing it wrong. This must not be able to work for me because I can't do it right every time. And gosh, that was painful for me. So I want you all to think as I'm talking, what is something for you in your life? It may be around food and these habits that we're practicing, but it also may be around parenting. It may be around taking care of a parent. I'm definitely practicing this right now while I am raising a 10-week-old puppy who doesn't do anything that you and I'm there I go into my black and white thinking. I literally was just out on the patio with him and I told him to sit and he sat. So he still sometimes does things that I want him to do. So what in your life do you know, what part of your life do you want to loosen up? I like that word. What do you want to loosen up? Some of your perfectionist thinking, your black and white thinking, your it should be this way or this is the only right way to do it. Where do you want to loosen up? Sometimes I talk about like I remember my Aunt Bonnie taught me how to ride a horse. So they live up in North Arkansas and they raise Arabian horses and they have a farm and I'll forever be grateful that she taught me to ride horses. But the what I always think about is she taught me, you know, when you're holding the reins with a horse, right? You can't grip, you can't pull. They don't like that, right? She always said you've got to lay the reins in your hand. And you know, when you're up on that horse, you're like, oh, I don't know, is he going to do what I want him to do? How can we lay this perfectionist thinking in our hand and just let it be there? You know, instead of holding on to it so tight. Okay. And that can lead us to some less perfectionist thinking. Sometimes I talk about living in the gray. That might resonate with some of you all. Between black and white, right? Between all or nothing, there's all this space in between in the gray. And that is where weight loss happens. That's where parenting happens. That's where raising a puppy happens. That's where taking care of elderly parents happens, y'all. It is the messy middle. If you want to call it messy, do it. Because it is messy to our brain that wants everything to be neat and tidy. And it's just not possible. So how can you kind of lay those reins in your hand instead of gripping so tight. Okay. So let's see what y'all have to say about it. Emma Louise says she's been changing some of her dialogue recently. Instead of "I never" or "I always," and changed it to "that is," change it to "that's actually realistic." Yes. Y'all watch for your absolute language. Never, always, can't, and definitely always watch for shoulds and shouldn'ts. What other absolute kind of language? But never or always is definitely something to get aware of. Because y'all, how often are we ever like never or always? Especially with something like weight loss. It's just not possible. It's just not possible to never or always do anything when it comes to losing weight. Yes, not gripping the rein so tightly. Let's see. Pam said, I would like to incorporate more fun and enjoyment in my life and let go of the self-pressure of trying to do too much all the time. That is definitely like y'all, fun happens in the gray. You know, I was talking about like having fun, like, fixing my hair and stuff. That's where fun is. It's in the gray. Fun is not in all or nothing. Fun is not in black and white. You know what's in the on the ends of the spectrum? Like Pam said, pressure. It's like pressure over here to do everything perfect, or it's shame and judgment over here when you're not doing anything and you quit. Nothing fun happens at the ends of these spectrums. Fun happens in the middle, in the gray, when you're just seeing what happens. You're fucking around and finding out. You're experimenting. You're collecting data. You're maybe doing the deep dive assessment and seeing what you might learn from that. All of that here is in this gray. Come join me in the gray area. Janet says, loosen up rules for living healthier, giving up black and white thinking. Yes. She's in remission for the second time. So good to hear, Janet. Yes. Like I'm telling you, when something like cancer happens to you, there's, that's, you got to live in the gray with that, right? You got to roll with it. And you can do that too with your habits for losing weight. Ooh, Kim says she would like to work on not being so regimented on the weekends because chores need to be done. And by the way, y'all, you can also post questions in the Q&A. I just see one that came up. And then Geraldine, I see you first. So we'll get to you in just a second. So, yeah, what is your black and white thinking, Kim? Right? What are some rules? What is this regimented thinking around the weekends? Y'all, this is how we get into the situation that we're in. When we put so much, like our weekends are supposed to be for, we might get some stuff done around the house, but it's for rest. It's for fun too. The gray, living in the gray is figuring out how you can get your chores done and have some fun and maybe get some extra rest in. It's possible, y'all. People do it. But what are these rules that, we got to start with awareness, right? And figuring out what rules have we put in place in our mind that, again, aren't written down anywhere. There's not some universal rule book out here in the universe that we have to follow. Okay. Pam said, yeah, no glasses today, y'all. I got my contacts in. And then I've got my handy dandy readers. So it's contacts and readers or it's glasses. But I'm actually going to the doctor here in a few weeks and I'm excited to get some new glasses. I want to get kind of a different style of glasses. That's another fun thing to do. All right. So Pam says slowing down and being more deliberate really helps. That deep dive assessment is one of those things to slow down and do. Ooh, good, Pam. Slowing down. happens in the gray. Think about all or nothing in black and white. It's real fast over there. We either like quit real fast to get a hit of relief, or we're like over here trying to do everything and it's all fast, right? It's fast, fast, fast. The gray is slower, right? More deliberate. Patience is in the gray. Practice is in the gray. Consistency is in the gray. And when I say consistency, you know I don't mean perfect, right? How do we define consistency in No BS? Somebody tell me in the chat. Do not equate consistency with perfection. Corinne would not be happy if you were doing that. Okay. Monica says she's been a member for a little over a month. Welcome, welcome. Let's see. I want to download a digital planner and having a terrible time with the process. Yes, there is a digital planner on our website. So just go to nobswomen.com, click on resources tab, and the top one is our No BS planner. Okay, so that's it. Jenna, actually, no, 80% isn't, 80% is part of our phases of change. Where, but that's actually not consistency. Our phases of change, y'all, by the way, is another lesson. I'm trying to remember where we teach that now, but it is where, like, kind of how we change, right? We go from 0 to 40%. Trying to remember the. That's okay, Jenna. Good guess. Good guess. Because it's the same kind of thing, okay, that we're talking about where we don't have to be perfect. Okay. Yeah, it's somewhere in the No BS course, Jen, but I'm trying to remember which lesson. But our phases of change is like we start out with, any kind of new habits that we're practicing, we maybe do it 20% of the time, right? Like 20 to 40% of the time. And then we go from 40 to 60% of the time. And then we go, it's like we start small. We're not supposed to be good at things at first, new things that we're practicing. That's more perfectionist thinking that we need to be really good at something and can, consistent with something. Let's see. Pam's guess is show up in some way, shape, or form every single day. That could be part of consistency. Yes, 20, 40, 60, 80 is the phases of change. We start off doing something, y'all, about 20% of the time. Are you willing to keep going when you're doing something 20% of the time? That is the key to everything. Yeah. Jenna says it's simply showing up. Yes, this is all part of consistency. This is how I define it when I'm talking to my private clients, and I like to do like a little motion with my hands. So if y'all are listening to the podcast, I'll kind of explain what I'm doing. Like, we're going along, right? We're going along practicing, let's say, making our plan every day and assessing. Okay. Or but no, let's go with water, right? We're going along practicing about 64 ounces of water a day. And I'm kind of moving my hands up. And so we're going along, but then one day happens and, our car breaks down and we don't get to work at the same time. So we're just not on the same schedule with our water and we veer off the path. And maybe that day we get 45 ounces of water. How are you going to get back to getting your 64 ounces of water in as soon as possible? That is what consistency is. It is going along. We make a normal human veering off the path. We make some kind of mistake. We have an overeat, something like that. And it's getting back to what we know we want to do as soon as we can, over and over and over again. That is what this journey looks like. It doesn't look like a perfect path. It doesn't look like never making a mistake. It doesn't look like never, having a bad day and saying fuck it and not getting our water in. It looks like we're going along, we're celebrating our wins, And then life happens and we veer off the path and we come back to ourselves over and over and over again. Okay. That is what consistency is. And that is what is required to achieve anything we want in life, y'all. We practice consistency when we have a career and go to work every day. We practice consistency when we're raising children or dogs. We practice consistency when we brush our teeth and get out of bed every morning. None of that stuff ever looks perfect. And we get up every day and we keep going anyway. We got to do the same thing with this journey that we're on with weight loss as well. Okay? It's not going to look perfect. It doesn't require perfection. That's good news. So, how are you going to keep going no matter what? Okay. Ooh, Louise, I love this. I've learned to find joy in the messiness. I have a book on my bookshelf called This Messy, Magnificent Life. I love that. I always think about that. Laura says, I like to think consistency like a dirt road. The more you drive on it, the easier it is to see the path and get back on it whenever you veer off. Yeah, it does maybe get smoother as we go. But sometimes we come up on a bumpier road. That's normal too. Life happens. We're diagnosed with cancer. We get a new puppy. Our family member gets sick. And we're back on that bumpy road again. We're veering off. Maybe we're veering off more than we have in the past. How are we still going to get back over and over again and practice that consistency? Because I don't want y'all to keep believing that eventually it's going to just be smooth sailing and easier. Because life happens. I went through a tornado a couple of years ago. It was very traumatic. I went back to overeating quite a bit. I gained some weight. And then I had the year anniversary of the tornado, and I was kind of re-triggered again. Had another regain, got back to all both times, came back to myself, came back to myself. This puppy's giving me a run for my money. Returning to myself, returning to my habits that I love over and over again. Okay. All right, Geraldine, let's see what you have. And then, y'all, let's see a few more folks raising your hand. Okay. Because I want to coach some of you all. So let's see what Geraldine has for us. Oh, good. Jean, you'll be next. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. What's going on?
So let's see if I can boil it down. I think the thing that I most that might help the most feels like it may be a little bit big, but this whole thing feels like an identity problem rather than a tact. I mean, it's definitely a tactical problem, but I feel like the tactics are like driven by the identity and the belief of like, this has been 35 fucking years that I've been playing this game and doing this and like trying to lose these same 15 pounds and I can't do it, like the belief that I can't do it. It's not possible, it's not working, blah, blah, blah. And because of that manifests in my actions, which are inconsistency. And like if I look back at my like my goal tracker or whatever, it's like 2 days out of seven.
Yeah. Okay.
Like
Good to, I mean,
that's not
like,
gonna work.
well, yeah, right. I mean, and go you for having some data to look back at, right? Where it's like, okay,
Yeah.
I can go along for a couple days and then
2 days.
this lack of belief, kind of, it just, kind of gets this hold on me. And yeah. And so you're seeing You're seeing, you know what is going on here, which is great news, right? Yes, it is time for you to shift your identity. So this is where, did you do the nighttime eating course last month?
No.
Okay, there is a lesson in there. I've literally got it right here in this big stack. Shifting your identity. We say around nighttime eating, but I want you to, kind of just, it's shifting your identity into someone who, is who you want to be to, to be more consistent, let's say. Okay. That's what how you're shifting your identity. And where we start with that, I'm going to just pull up this lesson, is when you, I mean, do you know your old story? And I think for you, it would be really good for you to write down, like, this 35 years and this, kind of like let your brain throw a fit for one last time. This is my old identity. Right, how this is hard for me, and I've been doing this so long, and your big judgy, shamey story, right? Let's let it have its say one more time, and then we go to the new identity. Do you have any idea of what you want your new identity to be? And let me start you off, and this is for everyone. Everyone can do this, and you can shift your identity into anything you want, right? So it starts out with, I'm becoming a person who. This is what you practice every single day. I'm becoming a person who. So what's the rest of that for you?
Sorry, I'm gonna cry probably. Puts down the demands. It's like I set it up in a way that the goal is kind of unattainable, and then beat myself up for not getting there. And like doesn't give herself space. This is the doesn't side. So I can find
Yeah.
the positive, not the positive way, but the thing that I don't
Start
give
with what you
myself
don't
space.
want. Yeah. Start with what you don't want, right? I mean, if that's accessible to you, start with like, this is who I don't want to be anymore. And then that can kind of lead you to figure out who you do want to be.
Like I'm setting the goal to be, like I have the goal and it's like I have to get there now, right? And I have to have this all figured out and I just have to show up every morning and like do the things. And there's no space. I'm not giving myself space for the experimentation of like just being a beginner at this, even though I've been doing it for 35 years. Well, that's not true. That's actually not, there's two separate stories in there. The thing I need to give myself space for is the experimentation and really slowing the thing, this whole train down and treating it as a learning process of like, okay, like where did I go wrong at, like all hours of the day wrong. And just giving myself space to iterate and just review what I did and what choice I made and why I made it and what was going on and what choice I want to make next time. There's very little in my current model, there's very little space for that. It's all about you, like, God damn it, you expletives all over myself.
Very kind of at the, at the end of these, at the end of the spectrum, like I was talking about, right? Very kind of.
I mean, where my brain goes is like, why can't you do this? This is so simple. Like, I can't even do the simple thing. Like, 64 ounces of water took me like a month to implement.
That is
It's
one
like
of the
64
very
ounces of water.
unhelpful questions that we ask. Why can't I do this? Right? That's one of the most, I mean, just, it's not a helpful question, right? It's like it keeps us in this. I love what you said at the beginning, where you said, drop the pressure or the and like
Demand of
the
like instant
demands.
of instant know how to do it and get it right.
What I recommend it be something like I just set aside the demands. Like I kind of maybe like put them up on a shelf because here's the deal about demands. They're actually there to try to help you, right? They're there to try to take care of you in the only way they know how. All we've known is demands. All we've known is rules to try to change. And, let's try another, like a real big kind of mantra for me when I was losing weight and I still practice. It's like, I just got to do something different here. The pressure and the demands and the rules and the perfection expectations, it just hasn't worked. Haven't we tried that long enough?
We've been trying
Right.
for decades.
I think we've experimented with that long enough and collected enough data. It doesn't work. It keeps us so like so scared and feeling unsafe with ourselves, right? That we just kind of stay cowered in the corner.
There's no room to fuck up, excuse me. There's no room to fuck up and be like, and like, have the curiosity of the experimentation, right?
There's
Like when I
no
cook in the
room
kitchen,
for.
like me and my daughter, she said, we make a royal mess, right? Like when I cook, I'm like clean and tidy. But when I cook with my 10-year-old, it's like we make messes everywhere. We spill shit. I'm like, it's cool. What did we learn? Oh, you tipped over the flour? Like, no big deal. Where do we set the flour next time so it doesn't tip over? It's like, no big, we make a royal mess. And I'm like, it's cool. It's no big deal. But with myself, I'm like, and this, with this, I'm like super fastidious and like a freaking tight ass on myself. Like, there's no room for tipping over the flour to be like, what happens when you tip over the flour? And because of that, I'm aware that I'm not, because I hold it so tightly and like Miss Fastidious over here, I'm not allowing myself space to make a mess, learn from it, experiment, and like just be curious about it and be like, oh, what do I do next time?
Like
That's really
just
helpful to see.
yes. Like I was talking, fuck, let's fuck around and find out. That's
Totally. Because I've got like a rule up in my head that's like, you don't have time to fuck around with this. Like, you got to get the results. God damn it. Like, it is time. But I do it like it's true. I'm doing, I'm, this is helpful for me to kind of talk this out and see it. What I think I'm attempting to do as helpful, like, stop fucking around. Like, get this right already. You can do this. Just show up and commit. Drink your fucking water. Like, look at how much I swear at myself. Drink your 64 ounces of water. Knock off the drama, right? Like, I get all hard on myself. Part of it, I think, is born of an intention to like focus, commit, pay attention. But there's a flip side of it that's like too driven, demanding, and impatient about it. That's like putting me in a straight, putting like the scared me, the one that needs to learn, in a straitjacket.
It sounds to me like what it was, did you say it was your the little girl that you cook with? Is
Yeah,
that
my daughter, yeah.
your daughter? Okay, your daughter. It's like you need to parent yourself like you parent your daughter. Right? Like you need there is a little Geraldine in there that needs the same kind of love and compassion and openness that you give your daughter. How old is your
Oh
daughter?
God. 10, 9.
Yes. I always think about my, I have three nieces, and the middle one is 8. And she is, she is just a feeler and she is, a sensitive soul. And I always think about, okay, what would I tell her in this moment if she was came to me with, just, how would I talk to her? That's how I want to talk to myself. Right? It's okay. You wouldn't say, get your fucking shit together, to your
Well,
daughter.
sometimes I do.
You
But yes, point taken.
know what I mean, right? And so it's parenting ourselves and this little girl inside of us that needs our reassurance,
Ooh.
our comfort, and she doesn't need more rules. She doesn't need more demands. She needs softness. She needs And y'all, but here's the thing. I don't, she doesn't, I'm not saying she needs permission to do, this is where, I kind of talk to some, what's like, well, but then that just sounds so permissive, or that sounds so like, wouldn't we just, and it's like, but we give our children guardrails, right? We don't let them just run wild, but we also don't beat them down when they aren't perfect, or that when they maybe kind of jump over a guardrail, we're like, no, come on back. Come on back. And that's what I'm talking about with our definition of consistency, right? Just come on back. Come on back over and over again. Okay.
That's really helpful.
I just typed a little bit in the chat about kind of, I loved how you said allow space. Like, I'm becoming a person who allows space for, I said slowing down, experimenting, making a mess, and setting aside demands. But the space has to happen first, right? We've gotta, like I said, kind of let those reins rest in our hands, right? It has to start with that first.
Awesome. That is so helpful.
Okay, good. I think this helped a lot.
Love and compassion is like not a normal, like I didn't grow up with no love and compassion. Like
A lot of us
the
didn't.
household was strict.
And we want that's, but that actually, that awareness actually becomes compassion for ourselves, where it's like, okay, I did learn this. This is not something that is, I was taught. So, like I was saying earlier, we're not going to be good at anything new at first. Like, if we weren't modeled it, you're modeling it for your daughter, right? But if we weren't modeled it, my sweet dad, yeah, he modeled for me, nothing is good enough. He didn't do that towards me, but he did that. I saw him doing that with himself. Nothing was good enough, everything needed to look perfect or be perfect or whatever. He was doing the best he could. He didn't know about modeling and all that, right? He was just trying to go to work and support his family, and I love him for that. But now it's my job. It's our job. We can start doing this now. We really can. Okay.
Awesome. Thank
All
you.
right. All right. So good. All right. You take care. See ya. All right.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We've got Jean up next. Jean, hold on just a second. Let me do a couple of questions and then I'll get to you. Trudy said in the Q&A, we're on such that same wavelength. I just removed my Fitbit because it's causing me to be obsessive about steps and sleep. I want to stop with a perfectionist and all the rules that I have for myself. Thanks so much for this topic. Can you give us some ideas? I think this was earlier, so I talked a lot since then, Trudy, but it's very normal, y'all, as she talked about removing her Fitbit, where we got to look at, we have all these trackers, right? And we keep all this, we encourage you all to keep all of this data. But the key is, what do you make your data mean? So data can be Fitbit steps, data can be, how many circles we closed on our watch. Data can be how many times we drink our water, excuse me, this week. Right? The kind of the spirit of consistency is we look at that data and we say, okay, this is where I am, and what do I want to do from here? How can I get back on track as soon as possible? But with something like a Fitbit, if you just want to not have that data, right? There was a time in the world, y'all, where we had no clue how many steps we were taking every day. And we did all right. So use the data for good, or just take a break from the data. That can be a very compassionate act for yourself. Cassandra says, let's see. Okay. So I drink a minimum of 64 ounces of water. I drink 3 cups of coffee. I don't drink anything else but water very often. I guess my question is, what's too much water? I sometimes wonder if I'm drinking so much water that I'm not eating enough. Is that possible? It may be possible, Cassandra. We suggest you look at your urine. If your urine is a light yellow, then you're good to go. If it's more clear, then you may want to, cut back a little bit on the water. But also really tune in to what your hunger and enough signals are, right? So that you know when you're eating enough. Okay. But I mean, if you're at 64 ounces, but I mean, I don't know what your maximum is, but I mean, drinking too much water is a thing, but it's quite a bit. I mean, it's different for everybody, but yeah, you really want to. I mean, I, you know, we, you know, it's, you know, we didn't just come up with the 64 ounces. I mean, that is based off of, studies and things like that. So some people need more, some people need less, but why don't you just start practicing with, with 64 ounces and then see how you feel with hunger and enough and with your food. Okay. All right. Jackie said, great question. I'm not sure I eat enough either, y'all. How do we know we eat enough? Okay. What are your physical signals that you have eaten enough? I'll tell you mine real quick. Jean, then I'll get to you. When I eat, a meal, I feel a little bit of pressure in my abdomen. So y'all know what full or overfull or Thanksgiving full feels like. I feel that same feeling, but it is much less, right? I know I have food in my stomach. That is how I know I've eaten enough, or I'm at enough. I'm not past full, and I'm not, I don't need to eat more. I also hear things like, are we at enough? I think we probably had enough. Sometimes I get the sigh, and just sigh as I'm, as I'm eating, and I'm like, oh yeah, I think I'm at enough. I'm also like pushing around my food a little bit or looking for the best bites. That's another sign that I'm at enough. So some of y'all, I really recommend let's revisit the No BS weight loss course and remind ourselves and kind of recalibrate what our enough signals are. Okay. Okay. All right, Miss Jean, let's see what you've got. Ooh, that's a good idea, Geraldine. Yes, to keep a photo, y'all. I have a little photo. Look at little Betsy. I keep it on my desk. Look at her. Oops. Look at her. She got her rubber boots on out in her backyard. I just always keep a photo of me when I was little to remind myself how I want to talk to myself. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. What's going on?
Oh my. Hold on, I got echo here. Sorry about that.
No problem. No problem.
gosh, I can't believe how nervous I am.
That's all right. It's normal. Is this your first time getting coached?
it's been a while.
Okay. So normal.
I did the nighttime eating thing and realized I was not eating enough.
Yes.
Nighttime eating was my body saying you weren't nice, you did not eat enough during the day. And now I'm like, what is my enough? Am I hungry? Am I overeating? And then of course I gained some weight. So now I'm like going and I'm out. So
Okay. So did you hear what I just said about like kind of, recalibrating? This is your very clear message. It's time to head on back to the No BS weight loss course, like the first couple of modules, where it's like, let's remind ourselves, where, because it sounds to me like you probably were throughout the day kind of, ignoring, kind of checking out of your body. Maybe following some like, diet rules or external rules about what you should be eating. Or what do you think it was? Like, I mean, or you just tell me, what are your hunger and enough signals?
And to ask coaches, and I told them, they said, well, when's your enough? I said, when am I get rid of my headache? They said, well, you're waiting too long.
Yes.
So then I started eating more, and then it was like, then I didn't have any hunger. So I'm like,
So it sounds to me like you are smack dab in the middle of experimentation.
I am, but I just freaked out when I, and I know it's just a module, but
all of a sudden I'm feeling really weight heavy, and I'm just like, don't, you know, I mean, I've kept my weight off for so many, I've actually kept it off 3 years. So I'm like really excited about that, but I've slowly gained, and I'm like, I want to do a quick start or a jump start or.
Of course, of course. And it's like, no, we've been there, done that. We're doing something different this time.
Okay.
You are, I mean, but here's what's funny, right? It's like you're experimenting to kind of help reduce your nighttime eating that is also leading you to gain, but then you're like mad that your experimentation led you to gain, you know? And it's like gaining is part of experimentation sometimes.
Yeah.
Y'all, if I could prevent that for you, I would, but like we sometimes we need to gain a little bit to really figure out. I mean, you know, in your case, what are hunger and enough signals are. It sounds to me like you learned a lot this week about what they aren't, or like what, you know, are signs of, you know, past enough, right? But like that is the data we need to collect too. That is the experimentation we need to collect too. And so how are you going to keep going if there may be some weeks during this experimentation time where you do gain?
I did like your analogy, your picture of we're jumping down the road and sometimes we'll split and then we come back
Come
together.
back.
And I was like, we're always clapping. So I was like, so I'm going to back together and go
You're coming back together.
and back together.
Yes.
That one kind of like, I can
This is
see.
like so the freak out, right, is out here. Yeah, I mean, like it even like makes sense, right? We're like, but it's like, how can we come back to ourselves? Like, okay, I hear you. I know you're just like, you know, freaking out about, but it's like, this is part of experiment. This means my experimenting is working. I am learning a lot. I'm really figuring out because don't you want to? I don't want you to, you know, to keep getting a headache, right? We should not be getting headaches waiting for hunger most of the time. It means that we are missing a very slight hunger signal before that. Y'all, I have been with the headaches. Like, I mean, and I've had blood sugar stuff going on in the past. It's we are not tuned in enough, you know, yet, right? But there is a hunger signal in there. Yes, there's a hunger signal in there that you just haven't quite tuned in yet. Are you gonna keep going, you know, until you find it?
I might be going like this quite a bit.
Okay, you just keep clapping. It's like you're cheering for yourself at the same time.
True.
I love it.
Yeah, I've been being negative to myself, going, come on, can't you get this? Don't you done it for so long? You did it in the past. Why aren't you there? And it's like, but I'm trying. And then so I can sit there, oh, we just clapped again. So now I can,
There
okay,
we
let's.
go. And like, again, do you really see that as you like cheering for yourself and encouraging yourself? Okay. Because yeah, it's, I mean, it just sounds just like Geraldine, right? Where it's, you know, it's we need to set aside some of these demands and some of this pressure. Like you are really figuring this out. You know, you're really, I mean, you know, you've lost some weight and all this kind of stuff, but it's like you are really figuring out how to do this forever.
Right.
Because, you know, I don't know about you, but I mean, I can't have headaches every time I'm hungry forever, right? That's not sustainable. You are figuring this out for the last time. Don't stop now, right? Keep going.
Yes, we're doing this.
Okay. All right. So you got it?
I got it.
Okay. Keep clapping. I just love that. Keep clapping for yourself. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. See ya.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Let's see. Do, do, do. Yeah, Mary said she needs more water. She feels best when she has 80 to 100 ounces. So y'all, once again, back to experimenting. You got to see. Y'all, I'm right at around 64. I'm just right at around 64. And Start there if you are kind of, and give it some time to see if that really works for you. Y'all, this is the other thing. Patience. Patience is in the gray too. Don't forget. We got to give things time to work. I know we want this like yesterday, but it's just not the way it works. We got to give things time. And then if you're not at 64 and I have a private client, I think her goal is around 40 every day right now. And she's gradually moving up, but she is meeting herself where she is and making it doable for her, what she practices. So, yeah, someone said about putting like my Betsy, my little Betsy picture, like on your phone screen, so that when every time you open up your phone, you remind yourself of that little girl inside of you that needs some loving. Always say it's like she's kind of like tugging on my, she's like, Betsy, like tell me that we're okay. Like I need to know that we're okay. Will you tell me? Because we all need that, y'all. I'm turning 50 this year, but all of us have lots of these, younger selves inside of us, right? That need some loving from us, that need some reassurance, that need some reminders that, okay, I've got you. I'm here for you. You can always tell that little girl, you can go play. You can go play now. I'll take care of us. And that's how you build this very strong, trusting relationship with yourself. So, all right. Let's see. There's a couple more questions in this Q&A here. Do you have any suggestions for living in the gray when life is stressful and overwhelming, like during the work week? Okay. Jen, I've got some journaling prompts for you. I've got a journaling prompt for you. Sounds to me like you got a story around the work week that leads you to feel stressed and overwhelmed. What is it? What are you telling yourself? This is what we do in the gray also, where it's like, okay, I'm feeling a lot of stress and overwhelm during the work week. What's going on there? Let's see if we can kind of figure this out. And y'all, this reminds me, I didn't mention, the next question is about the June course, emotional eating. Y'all, this kind of stuff that I'm just talking to Jen about, what's going on? Like this is why I love, love, love to coach on eating. Because when we overeat, when we eat when we're not hungry, that is such like this amazing kind of like window that is open into our being. Where it's like, there's something to look at here. Something to get curious about. It's like the check engine light on your dashboard. It's like, what's going on? Because Jen, I mean, just from the wording of your question, it's like, you're just like, no, well, during the work week, it's just stressful and overwhelming. Like that's just a fact. And it's like, no, you're creating it as stressful and overwhelming by what you're telling yourself every day. And y'all, it can happen from the moment we wake up to the moment our head hits the pillow and we close our eyes and go to sleep. What painful stories, unhelpful stories are we telling ourselves all day? And Corinne calls it dying by 1,000 cuts. We just cut ourselves. I kind of talk about like we're picking at a scab all day long. And at the end of the day, that thing's going to be bleeding. What are these little picks? What are these little cuts we're giving ourselves all day? We got to look at them. Okay. So, and like I said, the emotional eating course helps us really, really notice what's going on. So that is the course for June, which I'm so proud that my birthday month is the emotional eating course. And like this is an example of a worksheet. So we've got just another minute here. And so I'll kind of point out some little highlights I have noticed from the emotional eating course. It's like the emotional eating messenger worksheet, action sheet. I'm on page 8. And it's just exactly what I'm talking about. Think of a recent moment when you emotionally ate. What was going on? And there, y'all, there's just blank there. And that's what I want you to write about, Jen. It's like, what's going on during the week? What is happening? What am I telling myself about what is happening? And how am I feeling? Okay. That's what we want. And it says the next question, what feeling do you think was driving that moment? Exhausted, pissed off, overwhelmed, overstimulated, anxious, bored, lonely, something else, fill in the blank. How did it feel in your body? Did you shake, tremble, get breathless, feel hot or cold? This is how we get to know the experience that we're having. What made that emotion feel like too much? Dang, that's a good question. Did you feel like you had to hold it together? No time to rest. Nobody helping you. Y'all, this worksheet alone, I bet you anything, getting aware of this could be a game changer for so much of you all. Okay, so this course this month is required for so many of you all. Now, I don't make that a rule for you to follow and beat yourself up when you don't follow it. But y'all, we all emotionally eat. If you say that for some reason this doesn't apply to you, I want you to get in to ask coaches and tell me why. Because I don't know anybody who doesn't emotionally eat, including me. Okay. So, all right. Cassandra, I don't even remember. She said, can you tell me what I said? But it's recorded, so you can watch the replay. But maybe somebody helped you in the chat. And Sylvia said, I think my constant little cuts during the week is I'm not enough. It is for a lot of us, Sylvia. Yes. So that's what I want you to take now to the emotional eating course and really dig into this, like, why you think you're not enough. What evidence do you have that you're not enough? What would be enough? Sometimes when we just ask ourselves that, we're kind of like, I don't know, right? I mean, I do it, where it's like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough coach. What would be a good enough coach? And then I'm like, well, I don't know. So it's like we believe this, I'm not enough, but we don't even know what enough is a lot of times. So really, really think about that and do the emotional eating course. All right, y'all. So much fun today. Yes, I get to celebrate. I should. I'm going to. No shoulds. Tomorrow, June 1st, is the month of Betsy. Okay. Especially here at year 50. I'm gonna just live my best life this month. Let's see. Liz said that she's already started the emotional eating course, y'all. It is on the, it's at nobswomen.com. It's already available to you. Let's see. And we've got the guide that I've been kind of looking with all the worksheets and the lessons. And then there is the 21-day journal to track your emotional eating and start finding the patterns holding you back from easier weight loss. So commit to that 21-day journal. I'm like, right click, let's download that and print that out or put it on your iPad. Actually, I may put it on my iPad. I haven't been using my iPad lately. So, all right. Kathleen said, I'm working on being non-perfectionist by trying to be my own best friend. Do we expect our best friends to be perfect? Y'all, my best friends, I love them to death, but they're a hot mess sometimes. And I love them anyway. And I keep hanging out with them anyway. Talking to myself like someone who I want to be with, having fun, having a sense of humor, and being kind and forgiving are the attributes of a good friend and are the antithesis of perfection. I love that. Well, you know, sometimes we say, like, what would you tell your best friend? But I'm just like smiling because I'm thinking of my friends. And there's not one perfect one in the bunch. And I love that they're not perfect. I love that they're messy. I love that they're funny and they're, you know, but maybe we like get into an argument sometimes and then we just come back and we still love each other, right? Like we love imperfection in our life. We love like unpredictability in our lives, some, you know, a lot of the time. So let's love that about ourselves too, okay? All right, y'all. So fun. Got a lot of folks my age. What is a free writable app with our plans? So GoodNotes, yes. I know that they've kind of upgraded GoodNotes, and I'm not sure if there's like what the free version is or whatever it is. I'm not paying for it. Well, now I did have to pay for it at first. I had to pay like make a one-time payment. But then I didn't have to do any kind of monthly fee. So, Geraldine, I mentioned the emotional eating reset course. Let me just post the, before we get out of here, I'll post the link to the course right here in the chat. Give you all a chance to click on it. So, but it is our course for June. And like I said, it is for everyone. We all emotionally eat sometimes. And here's the thing. Even if you're eating, you're overeating or you're eating past enough or whatever is just a habit, that's technically emotional eating too. Now, I don't say that to confuse you because, you know, on the discovery worksheet, we had, you know, emotional and habit. But really, if it's a habit, we've got to be willing to feel some kind of emotion to just do something different than what we've done as a habit, right? To change a habit, we got to feel an emotion too, probably just some discomfort, some restlessness, you know, some just kind of ickiness, general ickiness. So that's emotional too, okay? So in a roundabout way, all eating is emotional because we've got to be willing to feel something different to not overeat, okay? All right, y'all, so good. Y'all are kind of doing some resources with, Digital Diva stuff. By the way, our Digital Diva Facebook group is, you know, all the questions in there, all the, you know, information in there about how to be a digital diva and use your iPad and stuff for planning and other devices. So definitely that's, go to our community tab at nobswomen.com and you will find the Facebook group that you can join there if you want to join them. And there's just amazing, y'all, people create these beautiful plans every month, and it's a great resource that we offer you all. All right, y'all. Amazing job. And because I'm telling myself amazing job, which I am proud of myself. And I had so much fun today with you all. So, okay, we are always here for you. Ask Coaches, Facebook group, and stay tuned for Coach Kathy tomorrow. My very good friend, Coach Kathy, I believe will be coaching tomorrow, right? And then we'll be back to MJ, I believe, next week. So let's just keep moving forward, keep loving on ourselves a little bit more. And I love you all. All right. Take care. Have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.